Support for KNKX comes from WSECU, offering 3 new Visa credit cards and 3 new checking accounts. WSECU's goal is to help make the right card make a difference. More information is available at WSECU.org. WSECU, serving Washington since 1957.
This is Sound Effect from KNKX. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and we're in your feed today listening to a story. We're going to talk a little bit about it with the producer behind it. This was a story that was attached to our theme, Alone Together. And joining me here today is Posey Gruner from our Sound Effect team. Hey, Posey.
Hey, Gabe.
As well as her large standard poodle, Ellis. Where is he?
He's actually in Brenda's office.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So, you know, cool. Anything we ought to know about this story before we let it roll?
I'll just say that I was really excited about producing this story, mostly because of the food.
All right, let's have a listen. This is from our show Alone Together on Sound Effect from KNKX. When she was just 18, Marisa Como Karaji packed up her childhood bedroom and moved to Senegal in Western Africa. She was doing a gap year between high school and college, and she was in a program with a lot of structure and support. But it wasn't long before she started feeling culture-shocked and homesick. Back home in Edmonds, Marisa's dad was feeling a different sort of loneliness. He wanted to stay connected to his daughter, but it wasn't like he can go to Senegal for parents' weekend. That's when he thought of a novel way to stay close. Sound Effect's Posey Gruner has more.
Marisa Como Karaji went to Senegal to do an immersion program, but it didn't take long for her to realize that immersion is just another way of saying in over your head. One night, she was sitting down to dinner with her host family.
And we're sitting on our little stools, getting ready for a plate to come out. And I look over and there's a scorpion walking up the drive. And I was like, oh, hey. And they were like, oh, yeah, no big deal. And then just took like a sandal and smushed it.
Marisa was a teenager who had taken off to a foreign country. And she says that everything felt new all day, every day. Sometimes she could take it in stride.
And then there's just, you just hit those points where it's just like, oh my God, like, I really wish I was at my house right now watching a movie with my family or something like that, you know.
When she wanted to feel just a little bit normal, she'd go to the local internet cafe. She'd choose a computer and pull up a video call.
And I would Skype my mom, I would Skype my dad, I would Skype, you know, my best friend. I would try and get that minute of, this seems normal, you know. But then, of course, it comes in all pixely and, you know, loading, and sometimes it just wouldn't go through.
What I could see her face when it wasn't, you know, pixelating and jumping all over the place.
That's Marisa's dad, Dan. He says he could tell from her face that things were hard. Not that she would tell him directly.
You know, she put up a brave face and let me know that she was doing fine and everything was going good and she was doing all that. So I kind of, you know, I was still concerned.
Like any parent, he was worried for her health and safety. But he had another concern. Marisa was having so many new experiences, and he couldn't share any of them with her. He was starting to feel disconnected from what her life was like. That's when he came up with an idea for how to stay in touch, something a lot better than a Skype call. Dan drove down from Edmonds to Columbia City. He parked a few blocks off of Rainier Avenue and then walked right into the heart of the business district. He was looking for a place called La Taranga.
I'm glad it's got a bright colored sign because I probably would have walked right by it. And I said, well, there's the sign. And so I went and took a look and I went, wow, you know, I was just...
This is the only Senegalese restaurant in all of Seattle. The proprietor, Mamadou Diakité, says it's probably also the smallest restaurant in Washington. La Taranga is a little bigger than a hallway and a little smaller than an alley.
It's very cozy, though. It's very nice and cozy once you get in here. And then when I get warmed up and then I start playing my African music, so that give me more energy, you know.
Mamadou needs the energy because he's the only employee. He's the host and the waiter and the chef. He is also the chief hospitality officer. That's very important to him. Hospitality is practically the national value of Senegal. And La Taranga, the name of the restaurant, actually means hospitality in Wolof. Dan is a very outgoing guy, so Mamadou's Senegalese hospitality was a perfect fit for him. The first day he came to the restaurant, he and Mamadou struck up a conversation right away.
I said hi and introduced myself and just said,
he's like, oh, my daughter, she's in Senegal. I said, no, yeah. And I asked him, where's your daughter? What city is staying? How long he been there? Did he like it? You know?
Dan told Mamadou that he was there because he wanted to try a dish his daughter had told him about, something she ate all the time. It was the Senegalese dish.
Thibaut Deon?
Chebujen is, we call it the national dish, the Senegalese national dish.
And it's fish cooked in tomatoes, a tomato stew with broken jasmine rice served with carrots, cabbage, cassava, and eggplants.
When Mamadou makes his chebujen in this little dark kitchen in Columbia City, it smells just like Senegal.
And this is the cassava.
Dan enjoyed that first meal at La Taranga, and he really enjoyed telling Marisa about it the next time they were together on Skype.
I said, hey, remember that, that dish you were showing me the other day? And she said, yeah. And I said, I went and had it. And she said, really? You know? So we discussed, and she said, well, what'd you think of it? And I said, that was quite good.
They'd found their touchstone. Marisa wasn't going to be able to watch a movie on the couch with her dad. And Dan wasn't going to be able to watch a Senegalese sunset with his daughter. But they could share a meal together, or at least talk about their meal.
And they gave me questions. Well, how did you do this? And how did, you know, what's that spice and stuff like that?
After that first time at La Taranga, Dan kept going back. The next time, he tried the chebuyap, and then the goat curry. Then they started getting creative. Dan would tell Mamadou about a spice that Marisa was cooking with, and Mamadou would make a dish for Dan that included that spice. Then, after each visit to La Taranga, Dan would call Marisa and they'd compare notes. It helped them get through the 8 months of separation. When Marisa finally came home from Senegal, her dad knew that he wanted to bring her for a meal, a real meal, at La Taranga.
We shared the food over Skype, but I wanted to share it across the table.
He had one condition. You have to speak in Wolof.
How are you?
I didn't understand a word, but I was just enjoying it. It was just so cool that my daughter was doing this, and it was just, you know, my head just swelled. It was great, and so I was very proud of her.
Marisa was grateful to have a taste of Senegal right here at home. Now she comes back with her dad whenever she gets a craving.
Manbaga yasapule ak kenklebasho. Oh.
Today, she orders yassa poulet, a chicken dish with onions and spices.
I'm so happy right now.
Dan orders one of his favorite dishes, the goat curry.
Oh, yeah.
Today, it's made with coconut.
Very good. That coconut is much, it just really adds to it.
When they were far away from one another, the food at La Taranga was a way to connect across the ocean. Now that they're back, it's a way to connect across the table. And for Marisa, now the restaurant has another purpose. It helps her to connect with her program mates, who are also back in America and feeling homesick for Senegal. She'll go to the restaurant and snap a photo and send it to them.
Little things like this, you know, being able to send my friends like, hey guys, just had chebujen, or just had some chakri, you know, and they're like, oh, that's awesome. Like, oh, I remember that. Oh, do you remember when we did that? You know, it's just, it gives us something to connect back to and kind of touchstone to our experience.
That story from Sound Effects, Posey Gruner. That story was produced by Posey Gruner from our Sound Effect team, and she's with me now to talk about, first of all, what the scene is like in that restaurant. Can you just describe a little bit more like what it sounds like and smells like and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So it's really small. And, you know, when I walked in with Mamadou, who's the proprietor, he opened the door and the first thing he said was, I know it's very small. Like, it's undeniably, it's a hole in the wall for sure. Like, I don't even know how the building, I don't even know why this space exists. It's very small. It's four tables along one side and there's some sort of African print textiles along the wall. And at the back, it's like a shower curtain. That goes across. And so that actually helps you imagine the width of the space.
Like, it's about as wide as a shower curtain.
It's about as wide as a shower curtain. And that covers the kitchen in the back. And that's where Mamadou works. And he makes all of this delicious Senegalese food.
So you can understand how somebody who goes there a few times would get to know Mamadou because he's right there. He's very much every part of this restaurant.
For sure. I mean, if they had space for a communal table, it would fit very well there because it's really the kind of restaurant where Mamadou comes to your table and he talks to you about why you're there and how you're enjoying your food. And it's very much, it feels kind of like going into his living room.
Well, you mentioned you're pretty excited about the food as part of this story. What is your connection to Senegalese food?
When I was in college, traveled to Senegal for a study abroad program, and I lived there for about 4 months. And if you spend any time in Senegal, you will have eaten three things. You'll have eaten Cheboujen, Yassa Poulet, and Mafé. Those are the things that everybody eats, everybody makes. They are delicious. There is one Senegalese dish that is disgusting, if I do say so myself, and that's soupakanya, which is okra soup. I don't need to say more than that, I don't think.
Yum. So it's sort of like a booger broth.
It's a booger broth, cool. And it is not on the menu at La Teranga.
So you don't care for that, but the other dishes you enjoy.
The other dishes I enjoyed, and it's not just that I enjoy them, it's that they are so... Everybody in Senegal makes these dishes basically the same way. Like, it's as if everybody has the same recipe. And so to be able to go there and to have Cheboujen, like, it tastes like it tastes. And so it just brings back this sort of flood of memories and sensory. You know, it's just a delight to be able to re-experience that time in my life through this food that's available to me in Columbia City.
So you must have identified with Marisa very much in that sense, particularly what you describe at the end of the piece, how she uses it to reconnect with the people she was there with.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I definitely, Marisa and I talked a lot about being young white girls who go to West Africa and don't quite know what they're getting into, but then fall really deeply in love with this place that starts to mean a lot to us. And one thing that didn't make it into the piece at all, because there was just really no place for it, is how difficult it is to leave. It's very difficult to go to Senegal and adjust. And then once you've adjusted, it's very difficult to leave. The thing that was really hard for me is that when I was flying back, I got on the plane and I sat down in my seat and I watched these French tourists get on, and they had like their hair in braids and they were carrying their drums, and like they had just come back from a vacation. And I sat down in my seat on the airplane, which is like the nicest seat that I'd sat in for months. Like, it was very cush. And I pulled out the Newsweek and flipped just to see, like, oh, I wonder what they're saying about Africa. There was a 1-inch wide by 2-inch long tiny little article about Africa, and it was about Ebola. And so, I don't know. It's just the thing that's hard about coming back is that nobody really wants to know.
It's hard to share this really deep and important experience that you had when people have so little concept of what much of Africa is like in this country.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah.
You told me a little bit about what it was like to communicate with folks back home when you were in Senegal.
That was actually the very first time that I had ever seen someone on a video call, which is funny because I was in like this third world country and I was like, what is this amazing technology that you have? Because they have these, you know, they have these computer centers. And this, again, is like the year 2000, right? So it may be different now, but people didn't have computers at home. And so you have to go to this cafe and there's just a bank of computers and you sit there. And there were a lot of people who were on video calls, and they would be talking to their relatives in France, or a lot of Senegalese people have relatives in Italy. And so they'd just be chatting, which was kind of amazing to me at the time.
Thank you so much, Posey.
Thank you.
Great. Well, that's going to do it for today. Our next program is going to be a special fundraising episode. It'll be an encore of our Harborview special. And when I say fundraising, I mean that KNKX is going to be in its fun drive, which is fun for everybody. So if you want to make a contribution to support programs like Sound Effect, you can go to knkx.org and make your gift there. For the Sound Effect team, I'm Gabriel Spitzer. See you guys soon.